but I had aspirations for that tower. I was going to get the biggest swinging mead flag of all time and have it waving off that tower. So every time the people of Kildare looked north, they knew who ran this neck of the woods. Commander Ryle!
Absolutely.
This is probably not a foregone conclusion or of any sort at all. I'm going to give Bord's Mill the nod here, David.
Wow. I'm not, but yeah, I admire it.
Look, I love my county. I love playing for Meath. I'm very passionate about it. I think it's the best county, you know, going. I still love it. I want us to dominate in both codes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'd have Rotote still won, would you?
I said
No. Don't give me... If you won't answer if you would have Rototen won, then don't even go there.
Nunc est bibendum. And all the classical scholars out there will know what that means. And if they don't... Jimmy Google will sort it out.
You've jumped over the fence, baby.
Absolutely. Little boy with his finger in the dike.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And Davey, a bit of a mixed bag from the weekend. Lots of our county sides were out between hurlers. Minor footballers were out during the week. The under 20 footballers were out during the week. The ladies were out on the weekend. The minor footballers were, I mentioned that already. The minor hurlers were out in the Leinster Championship. And we had Camogues in a minor B All-Ireland Shield final as well. So, and it's a bit of a mixed bag. Some good results, some poor results.
Yeah, horses for courses, as you say, Mickey. Some decent ones, but some disappointing ones as well. Stretching right back to last Tuesday night, I think, was the first one with the under 20s, and it was a big weekend all round, really, for all of our teams.
Yeah, it really was. And the first one that we're going to go to, Davey, is we're going to go to the hurlers in the Joe McDonagh Cup. They were taking on Laois. The game was played in Trim on Saturday. It was down for Park Tolchin, but Meade moved it to Trim, and it didn't end too well for me. Davey, you were at this one. We do have a full review over on our Loyal Royals podcast this week with an interview with Sean Quigley, the super sub, after the game. Interesting that he's even been suggested as a super sub. Like, he should be a mainstay in that hurling team. We also have a review of the ladies match against Kildare. We have interviews with Shea McCormick, Monica McGurk, and the young gun Kira Smith, and we will have a review of the under 20 Leinster final between Meath and Louth that takes place on Monday night. That will go out maybe on Wednesday or Tuesday. We'll see when we get that one recorded. But Davey, as I said, we'll do the full review of the hurlers game on Patreon. It doesn't make for good listening. I suppose the black card to Toher with 5 minutes of the first half, I think, to go, or was it a little bit early? I think it was 5 minutes. It was on 30 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Black card.
Yeah. There was only 4 points between the teams at that stage. It was 110 to 1-6, but Laois just powered home after that.
Oh, they really did, because Toher was doing a really good job, Mickey. He was just sitting in the pocket, and Meath were playing against the breeze in the first half. And Duno actually all right at that stage, you know, 4 points down. But he goes off black card. They get the penalty, end of rolling. The Laois goalkeeper comes up, sticks it away, and they just never look back after that. Laois really, really hammered it home then in the second half. And it was a long, long 35 minutes for me that I felt like it would never end. Savage golfing class between the two sides. Ultimately, Meath were never going to be looking at this game for a result, but you were looking at it to try and get a performance and not get humiliated. In the end, that's exactly what happened. 7-29 is a massive, massive score to be conceding. And I'm not actually joking in that. It could have actually been more. Laois butchered a number of other opportunities. So Meath have to wipe that from their system altogether and just try and look ahead. It doesn't get any easier for them, obviously, with Offaly coming to town next weekend, but thereafter, maybe they can look at maybe trying to get points off the likes of Kerry and Westmeath, which won't be an easy task either. But they are where they are, and they have to fight and they have to battle. They have 3 games left to basically save their season, and that's it.
Yeah, and you mentioned it already there. They will be coming up against Offaly next weekend. It's Saturday at 2 p.m. in Trim. Again, it does say on the websites that it's in Park Tolchin, but that game has been moved to Trim. And as you said, doesn't get any easier. Another one of the big guns from the Joe McDonagh Cup, Davey.
Yeah, and they had a superb win against Westmeath over the weekend. It bounced back after just going down to Laois the week previously by the narrowest of margins, a last-minute goal. So they're a quality side. I think they're second favourites for the competition. The likelihood is it will be a Laois and Offaly final in the Joe McDonagh. So they're two awesome sides. Me just have to try and put up a much improved performance to what they showed at the weekend, because I think another result or hammering like that would be detrimental to them with two games to go after that.
Yeah, well, look, best luck to the Hurlers next Saturday as they take on Offaly in Trim, and we're hoping for an improved performance. This is not about getting a win next weekend. It's about, you know, building confidence for the last two games of the Joe McDonagh. On another note, Davey, sticking with the Hurlers, the Miners were out in their final Leinster game, and it turned out to be the semi-final of the Paddlelahan Cup as well. It was a double edged sword. After extra time, it finished Antrim 124, Meath 120, a loss by 4 points. Not a great weekend for our Hurlers.
Yeah, but in fairness to them, a much improved performance from what we've seen a couple of weeks previously when they got slaughtered in Park Tolton against Westmeath, actually. And they basically had the one game left to play in the Leinster, and it doubled up as the Paddlelahan semi-final. They got a reaction. They put up a good performance. Force extra time. Antrim just had a little bit more strength and depth after extra time to win by four. But a decent response from Martin Lynch's charges, and again, they'll pick plenty from the campaign. A few positive displays, good display against Offaly. They got a win against Wicklow. Westmeath was a write-off, and the Antrim one could have went either way really in normal time. So all in all, it wasn't a dreadful year by any matter of means for the Meath Minor Hurlers, but still a bit of work to do, but they'll progress to under-20s, and hopefully they can build on what we've seen from an under-20 team this year.
Absolutely, and as you said, the under-20s having a great year, Miners, you know, improving, and hopefully a blend of those next year could be the start of something special. Moving on then, Davey, to the ladies. They were taking on Kildare in what essentially was a Leinster semi-final on Sunday in Park Tolchin. And, you know, a good performance here from Meath to win 2-11 to 12 points. I was at this one, so I'll give you a little rundown very briefly. You know, Meath did a lot of their work in the first half. They built the foundations to the win, leading 2-7 to 5 at halftime. They were wind assisted in that first half. Not that they used it that well. They did leave, they had five wides in the first half. Incidentally, in the opening 9 minutes, they had four wides. They had one for the remaining 21 minutes, and they did drop one short. In the second half, they were a bit more clinical. They had three wides, but they did score an awful lot less. They only scored 4 points in that second half. Kildare put it up to them a little bit in the second half with a 10-minute rally from the 11th to the 20th minute. But Meath saw it out and booked themselves into a Leinster semi-final. Or, sorry, booked themselves a Leinster final place, Davey.
Yeah, they did indeed, Mickey. And we've a full review on that game. So thanks for the brief overview. We've interviews with Monica McGurk. We've interviews with Kira Smith and with the manager, Shane McCormick, afterwards. So that's dropping, I think, on Tuesday on our Patreon podcast. So you can go across to Patreon.com/WeAreMe to sign up if you want to hear that one.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, moving on now to our Minor footballers, and they were caught with a sucker punch last Wednesday night by Wexford, last kick of the game. Basically, they were leading by a point. It's the first time in the game that they led by a point, or that they led at all, and deep into injury time when Wexford got their third goal of the evening to win by 2 points. We did do a review of this over on our Patreon podcast, but just a, again, disappointing result for them. That's the end of their Leinster championship for this year, but they do go into the Seamus Heaney second tier competition. So there's still a few games of football left for these guys. But it was a football team, a minor football team that we would have had, you know, great hopes for.
Yeah, well, they were a really good Gerry Riley team. And sometimes that can be the case for whatever reason. They didn't just kick on. And the campaign has been disappointing. There's no need in saying otherwise. The bare facts of it are, Mickey, they played four games. They lost three. Their best performance was undoubtedly in Westmead when they beat Westmead and Mullingar and produced a really good second half display. And the expectation would be that they would have went on and beaten Wexford. It was a Wexford team who've only won one game in this championship. I think that was to Wicklow. It was to Carlow. I think Wicklow actually beat them, would you believe? And I know Wexford had an awful commute to the game last Wednesday night. It took them 3 hours to come up, got stuck on the M50. They forgot their water, so the lads had no water and all sorts of things. It was just set up for me to go on and win the game, and it looked to be going that way up until Tong Funge completed his hat-trick in the 4th minute of stoppage time and broke Meath hearts, and Wexford progressed to play at Dublin, and Meath, as you said, go into the Seamus Heaney Cup. And realistically, yeah, it's a couple of extra games, but it's not where we want to be, and not where the players or management would have envisaged them being at this stage of the competition or the year. But such is life, and they'll have to lick their wounds and go again. But very disappointing.
Yeah, really, really disappointing for this team, and they will go into that second tier competition and a chance to win silverware, I suppose, for them now, but not the silverware at the start of the year that they would be looking to win. But more games, you know, is a good thing. I'm glad that that's not the end of the year for them. It's their end at the end of their participation in the Leinster A, but they do go into that B competition. So best of luck to the lads in that one. On a happier note, our under-20s on Tuesday night were in Hawkfield Centre of Excellence in Kildare, taking on Kildare in the Leinster semi-final. And they won on a scoreline of 2-9 to Kildare's 10 points. A really, really good defensive display from Meath. And up the other end of the field, they were flying with Eamon Armstrong banging in his second goal in as many weeks. And they now move on to the Leinster final against Louth, who beat Dublin the same night to book their passage into the Leinster final. So that'll be played on Monday night in Parnell Park. But bringing it back to that game, Davey, that's a brilliant, brilliant win for the Meath under-20s away from home in a Leinster semi-final.
Yeah, massive. Kildare obviously reigning and defending All-Ireland champions from last year, and Dublin, the red hot favourites on the other side of the draw, dumped out by Louth, and it'll be a first Meath Louth final since 1996. And we were only remarking on the review about some of the players that came through that particular Meath team and what they achieved. Meath haven't won a Leinster since 2001, so 23 years. Louth haven't won one in over 40 years, almost 45 years. So it'll be a proper final in Parnell Park. It's on TG Cahir. I'd imagine there'll be a massive crowd from both sides, and it'll be a really passionate and colourful affair, shall we say. But I think this Meath team have the credentials, and they're starting to realise their potential as well. That was an awesome win, defensively so good. I know you talked about Armstrong, but himself and O'Hare, despite defending stoutly, the two of them got the crucial goals for Meath on the night. Killian Smith magnificent, as was Liam Kelly as well. And up front, Jamie Murphy, as he has been doing throughout the course of the campaign, leading the way with 4 points. It's a brilliant win. This was the team that we pinned our hopes on, really, at the start of the year. And touchwood, up to this point, they've delivered in spades. So hopefully they can just see off Louth in this final hurdle. Of course, they met when Meath won the minor All-Ireland, they met in the Leinster that year, and Meath won by 4 points a couple of years ago. Not much in that one, and obviously they're closely matched in under-20 terms too. So I'd expect a tight final. Meath are the slightest of favourites, but there won't be much in this one, Mickey. It should be a cracking final.
Yeah, I think they beat them in the minor Leinster semi-final, was it, that year by 4 points?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and Davey, injury concerns for Conor O'Brien and the lads for Monday night?
I don't think there's any chance of Keane Commons or Brian O'Halloran being back, to be honest about it. Hopefully I'm wrong. I just, the nature and the extent of their injuries, I'd be very surprised. Conor McQueen will be back from suspension, so that will be a huge boost. Whether or not he's trussed in to start, he'll certainly be a good option off the bench, if not. And listen, this is by and large the panel that have kind of got us to this stage, so I'd have no fear for them. But obviously it would be great to have a full hand to play with, but that's unlikely at this point, I would say.
You know, the one thing about this team, and we remarked on it when they were a minor team, was the strength and depth that they had. They had another 15 players behind the starting 15 that were as good as the starting 15. So that's one of the reasons as well why we pin so many hopes on this team, that they do have a panel that can sustain maybe one or two injuries like that and still be at nearly full strength.
Yeah, well, you look at some of the players that have kind of featured off the bench, the likes of Tadhg Martin, who's made a couple of really big contributions throughout the campaign. Sean Emmanuel, who missed the start of a true injury, is gradually coming back. Wouldn't be at all surprised if he was put in to start, but maybe they'll try and hold him in reserve and make that impact like he has been doing off the bench in recent games. John Harkin, Shamie Byrne, the same. You've got other good options with the likes of Finnerty, Josh Harford, Davy Curtis, John Mannion, players like that, you know, and obviously McQueenie will probably be in the thick of it as well in the 24. So there is good depth there, even with the couple of injury concerns that we do have. So I wouldn't mind. And the beauty about it is as well, like, we have loads of viable scoring options there, like with Stafford, McConnell, Jamie Murphy, Huey Corcoran, lads like that, you know. There's and Armstrong has been brilliant the last couple of weeks. Obviously, he's got a goal in each of his last two. Those deep runs, he's very hard to track. Brilliant athleticism, fantastic skill as well. He's just a classy player. I can't wait to see him playing football for Meath for the next 10 or 15 years, because I think he's probably the standout at this point in time. And remarkable to think he's one of the younger players on this Meath under 20 team. He still has another year at the grade as well, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely brilliant. And we're looking forward to that final on Monday night. Tomorrow night, depends on when you're listening to this, or last night, because if you listen to this on Tuesday, it'll be too late, and hopefully we'll have a Leinster title in our pockets at that stage. But it's not going to be an easy one up against Loud at 7:30 on Monday evening in Parnell Park. Best of luck to Col and the lads in that one. Davey, just on our camogues, we had a minor B-All-Ireland Shield final against Westmead on the weekend, taking place in Kinnegad, and it was the home side, Westmead, who took that Shield final on a scoreline of 4-11 to Meade's 2-7.
Yeah, Mead were really slow out of the blocks here, Mickey. Westmead got 1-4 without reply in the early stages, but Mead came roaring back into it with a goal from Kira Flanagan after 22 minutes, and that got it back. Westmead struck another two goals before the break, and that helped them into 3-6 to 1-4 advantage at the interval. So they were leading by 8 points, and they just kept Mead at arm's length in the second half and managed the game really effectively. Disappointed for Mead, the concession of those three first half goals, ultimately detrimental to them. They did add a set. But it was academic in the end, because Westmead added a fourth of their own and ran out comfortable 10-point victors. A disappointing defeat in the end for Mead, but just left themselves way too much to do.
Yeah. They learned from that, and getting to an All-Ireland final is a simple achievement. So well done to them. Just hard luck on the day, coming up against a Westmead side who were goal hungry and deserved their win. It was 15 scores to 9 at the end, and they'll move on from this one, and hopefully we've a few green shoots that can push on now for under 20s and maybe the Meath senior camogie team. Davey, another thing I wanted to mention to you was we have the seedings now for the All-Ireland Championship. We've got the Group 1, Group 2 and Group 3 and Group 4 seedings. Obviously, we've got the provincial finalists will be graded 1 and 2, so we don't know who's won the provincial finals yet, but we know the 8 teams that will be taking those first 8 positions in Seed 1 and Seed 2.
Yeah, Meath are going to be located in pot 3, or they're going to be 4 seeds basically for the draw. Seeds 1 and 2, as you quite rightly said, Mickey, haven't been set in stone yet because the provincial finals are yet to be played. But they're going to look like this. It's going to be Kerry, or Clare as seed one or seed two, Galway or Mayo as the seed one or seed two, Armagh or Donegal as a one or two, and Dublin and Louth as a one or two. Seed three is looking like a pretty tough pot to come up against, because you've got Monaghan, Roscommon, Derry and Tyrone in seed as seed three. And in seed four is ourselves, Meath, Westmeath, Cork and Cavan. So that's what it looks like at this point in time. Obviously, we'll know a little bit more in a couple of weeks after the provincial finals have been played. But that's how it is. Just a word on Meath, Mickey. They were playing an in-house game, I believe, this morning amongst themselves, and they're set to jet off to Portugal for a bit of warm weather training now on Tuesday. So an opportunity for the lads to fine-tune their preparations before the All-Ireland series. And I believe Conor Gray is back in full training and likely to be part of the panel for our opening All-Ireland game. So positive enough updates, I think, all things considered, and hopefully things are going well in there. A number of players actually featured for their clubs during the weeks in those back matches. But incidentally, with the in-house game that was taking place on Sunday morning, I don't think any players played over the weekend for the respective clubs.
Davey, looking at pot three, you know, the only one you'd really want to avoid at pot three is Derry. You know, you wouldn't fear Monaghan, Roscommon or Tyrone too much. You know, like, obviously they're going to be a step up in class, but you wouldn't be fearing them too much. Then in pot one and two, you've got the likes of Clare, Mayo, Armagh, Louth. You know, obviously you've got Dublin, Donegal, Mayo and Kerry as well to be thrown in there. But again, there's teams that you wouldn't fear too much and that you'd like to pit yourself against.
Well, I stand to be corrected here, but I'm fairly sure, don't we get the seed one at home? Don't we get seed one in Park Talton?
I think so, yeah.
So I mean you could have the likes of a Kerry or Dublin, obviously, Galway, Mayo, or Donegal or Armagh coming. And I mean let's take, for example, if it was Donegal or Armagh, I think if you're looking for the best draw, you'd probably pick one of those two, or maybe the Connacht winner. Like, if that's the route you're going with, in terms of an attractive tie, I'm looking at it like an FA Cup one. If you wanted the star one, fantastic to have Kerry in Navan. There was a great game a couple of years ago in the Super 8s when we had them in Navan. We were actually out of contention, but it was a really, really good game. So there's really attractive-looking games there.
I think Campion scored an unbelievable goal that day, didn't he, against Kerry?
He did, yeah. He did, and like, they needed something that day, Kerry, and we didn't, but we kept them honest right to the bitter end. It was a great occasion, lovely summer's day as well. So there's a load to be looking forward to. Obviously, it's not going to be easy, but you could get lucky and you could get a Louth or a Clare potentially as a seed too. And maybe that might just open up an avenue for you. So exciting times ahead, Mickey. I'm buzzing for it.
Yeah, can't wait for that. And we'll be looking forward to that draw after the provincial finals.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Otmore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Okay, so Davey, moving on to the club scene, and I think you've got a few results that you want to run through for me from the last few days.
Yeah, we'll go across the weekend, Mickey. You're going to have to be patient with me with a few of these because there's a load of underage and different games going to get in my way. But we'll start on Sunday. There was a handful of games in Division 6, Round 5 action. Clonard recorded a great win in Donore against St Mary's. It finished Clonard 5 goals and 9 points, St Mary's 3 goals and 8 points. So 8 goals shared between them, but Clonard continuing their fine form in Division 6. Also in Division 6, St. Pat's and Duleek Bellewstown. Wasn't the first game they played against each other over the weekend, but this was a Division 6 game. And it finished in a draw, 3-5 action. Also in Division 6, Dunamore Ashburn and St. Colum Kills played out a draw. It finished Dunamore Ashburn 12 points, St. Colum Kills 2-6. In Division 5, Round 5 action, Navan O'Matney's continued their fine form. They went to Gippstown and defeated Wolf Tones by 117 to 2-9. So a 5-point victory for Navan O'Matney's, and they're keeping their promotion hopes very much alive there. In Division 5 also, my own Cortown had a very narrow victory over Summerhill in a feisty encounter. It finished Cortown 15 points, Summerhill 1-11, so 1-point victory for Cortown. Also in Division 5, Slane put up a massive score against Senchelstown in Senchelstown. It finished Senchelstown 2-7, Slane 6-17, so Slane absolutely on fire at the moment. Also in Division 5, Simonstown were thumped at home to Trim. It finished Simonstown 5 points, Trim 8-11. A massive victory there for Trim in the battle of the second teams. Going back to Saturday then, Division 5 action. Moyla having a tough time for it at the moment, and they were beaten on home soil by Kilmainham Wood. It finished Moyla 10 points, Kilmainham Wood 4-7. That's 19 points. Over in Athboy in Ratcarn, actually, it was a local derby between Clannagale and Dundry, and it served up a cracking game. It finished Clannagale 3-12, Dundry 1-13, a 5-point victory for Clannagale in the local derby. In Division 3, also, Beliver had a very narrow victory over Knobber, low-scoring encounter, but it finished Beliver 2-4, Knobber 8 points, 2-point win for the home side in that one. In Division 3 also, Blackhall Gales hosted Kilbride, and it was Leo Turley's Kilbride returning to his former stomping ground and recording an 8-point victory against his former Keegan Cup winning club in Blackhall Gales. Blackhall Gales 10 points, Kilbride 1-15. In Bective in Division 3, it finished Bective 2-10, Kilmainham 1-9, so a 4-point win for Bective, and maybe a kickstart to their season. They've had a tough time of it up to now, but that could be just the catalyst for them to get going. Moving on into Division 2 now, Mickey, Round 5 as well. Sedgetown didn't have a good time for it in Division 5, but they most certainly had a good time for it in Division 2 because they absolutely thumped Manalvi. 4-15 to 2-8, a massive victory for the senior side there against the intermediate team. And the polar opposite here, and also in Division 2, St. Michael's, Mickey. 3-18, Trim 1-9, 27-12, a 15-point win for St. Michael's over Trim over in Carlinstown. What a result that is. I don't think you would have got too many people predicting that before the weekend. Into Division 1 now, Round 5 action on Saturday from Bacontown, and Nafina chiseled out a 1-point victory over their neighbours, Ballinabrachy. Nafina 1-12, Ballinabrachy 2-8, a 1-point victory for Nafina, and a big, big win at that. Speaking of big wins, takes me to Ashburn and Dunamore Ashburn, who've been going so well early season. They were stopped in their tracks here by a very capable Screen side who have picked up a few really good results in recent weeks. They defeated their opponents by 6 points. Dunamore Ashburn 2-6, Screen 2-12, 6-point win for Mick O'Dowd's men, and a brilliant one at that. Also in the P.R. Coyne and Sons Division 1 Round 5, Gaelcolumkill hosted St. Peter's the Boyne in Grange Garden. Gaelcolumkill 12 points, St. Peter's the Boyne 4-10, so a 10-point win for Dunboyne, who are motoring rather well at the moment too. Into Round 5 of Division 1, and Ratoath and Wolf Tones played out a typically close encounter on Saturday in Ratoath, but Ratoath's goal was key in the end. 1-10, they defeated Wolf Tones in that one. Summerhill travelled to Paddy O'Brien Park on Saturday, and they came out victorious by 6 points. Navan O'Matney's 1-8, Summerhill 17 points, so Summerhill continuing their fine form. Into Simonstown now, and Simonstown had a fantastic victory against St. Colum Kills. Simonstown 2-9, St. Colum Kills 1-6, 6-point win for your men, Mickey, and a brilliant one at that. Going back to Division 4 now, Drumbarra played host to St. Bridget's, and Drumbarra nosed out Ballinacree in a closely fought game. Drogheda 2 goals in 8, St Bridget's 1 goal in 9. That's back-to-back defeats now for St Bridget's, and Drogheda have picked up a bit of form in recent weeks as well. And another cracking game in Division 4 between Carnross and St Dultans. Carnross 2 goals and 13 points, St Dultans 18 points. A 1-point win for Carnross. Dermot McGee, 39-year-old Dermot McGee, with the winner deep into stoppage time, defying 10 points from Rory Buchanan of St Dultans. What a victory that is for the Junior B men. And Carnross have picked up form. Ultans in a bit of bother at the moment. Moving back to Friday night now, and Castletown are a team in form in Division 4, the GMB Sportsfield Services Division 4, and they defeated Gael Columbkill's second string, 3 goals and 13 points to 1 goal and 7 points. No Declan Cribben, but no problem for Castletown. They are in scintillating form at the moment. Rakenny, the senior team playing their trade in Division 3. They're getting nothing easy in this division, Mickey, but they eked out another victory against junior team Dunsany. Rakenny, 3 goals and 5 points. 2-point win, sorry. 3 goals and 5 points. That's 14 points to Dunsany's 1 goal and 9. That's 12 points. So Rakenny continuing their good form in Division 3. And just doing a quick scroll back. There was a couple of games on Thursday night. We might just finish it at this on Thursday night, Mickey. Starting in Division 4, where Ballinlough had a great win against Ratote. That'd be Ratote's second team, I think, in Division 4, yeah. 4-point win for Ballinlough. 3 goals and 13 points to 2 goals and 12 points in a high-scoring and entertaining encounter. And one of the most bizarre results of the weekend, we've seen this with the Dublin Ladies as well, which we talked about on our Loyal Royals podcast. GMB Sportsfield Services, Division 4, Dunshaughlin 1 point. St. Peter's Dunboyne 4 goals and 18 points. My word, what a result that is. Also in Division 4, St. Columbkill's second string made the long trip to Longwood, and it was a prosperous one for them as well because they defeated the host by 4 points. It finished Longwood 7 points, St. Columbkill's 1 goal and 8 points. And probably the game of the weekend in terms of both teams going extremely well came in Division 3, Round 5. Dunmore Ashburn's second team against St. Vincent's. And, of course, neighbours and everything that goes along with it. 9 points apiece. Nothing to choose between them over in Ashburn. Cracking game. In the JM Food Services Division 2, Sidon on home soil were beaten by their North Mead rivals, Oldcastle. Sidon 9 points. Oldcastle 2 goals and 10 points. So a big, big win for Oldcastle, who are going really well at the moment, Mickey, as well, it has to be said. And that's a tough place to go and get a result. So hats off to them. And that's pretty much it. Couple of results in Division 9 from Wednesday night, but I think that's pretty much it from Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a weekend off next weekend. Is that right? For Davey throws his hands.
I can't wait for a pint.
For the Maybank holiday. And we'll be back the weekend after with Round 6 of the Football League. And what we'll do is we'll do a full review of all those games. We'll do a preview next weekend of all the club games for the following week. And then, obviously, the week after, we'll do a full review of all the club games from Round 6 of the All County Football League. Davey, we're going to move on now to our Lotto segment. And I'm going to start it for a change. And I'm going to go straight to Centralstown. And because I'll give you a second just to get all of your Lotto results up. So, Centralstown's Lotto last Monday the 23rd. The Lotto numbers were 8, 12, 26 and 27. There was no jackpot winner. The 25 euro winners were Shawnee Hickey, Ava Monaghan, Jack Gordon, Mark Keaton and Katrina Riley. And this week's jackpot is 1,700 euro. I'm going to move in now to our next result from Kilmainham Wood. And their Lotto was last Monday the 22nd. So obviously Centralstown's was actually last Tuesday night. So Kilmainham Wood's numbers drawn last Monday night were 15, 16, 17 and 26. There was no jackpot winner. 5 lucky dupe winners all receiving 20 euro were Teresa Bashford, Michael McDermott, Shane Lynch, Ava Gilchrist and Maria Bennett, and this week's lotto will be a massive €4,000. Simonson's lotto last Friday night, the 26th, was not won. The numbers drawn were 4, 14, 17, and 28. And the match three winners were Decky Dowdle and Roseanne Lane. And this week's lotto will be €5,500 on Friday night. So, going to hand it over to you now, Davey.
Thanks, Mick. First up is my own Cartown GFC from Friday night, the 26th of April, with an €11,200 jackpot. The numbers drawn were 6, 7, 14, and 20. No winner. €520 winners were Lara Quayle, Marie Burke, Stephen Harrington, Derek Brady, and Lorraine Dardis. We go again next Friday night with €11,400, cartownga.com/lotto. Castletown from the 24th also, they had a €1,600 jackpot. The numbers were 1, 4, 9, and 20. No jackpot winner. Lucky dip winners each receiving €30 were Jennifer Oakes, Suzanne Farley, Peter Sheridan, Brian Kearns, and Brendan White. Navan O'Matney's next in, and their numbers from last week were 19, 23, 28, and 32. No jackpot winner. James Farrell was the match three winner, and the next draw takes place on the 30th of April. It's worth €6,050. Manalvi from last Monday night, the 22nd of April, 3, 7, 19, and 27. Their numbers, no jackpot winner. €320 winners were Mick Keneally, Laura Ford, and David Herity. Next draw takes place on the 29th of April, which is Monday night. It's worth €7,800, and you can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Kilmainham from Monday also, the 22nd, numbers were 6, 20, 22, and 26. Next week's jackpot is worth €12,100. Lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20, were Paddy Kavanagh, Francis Griffin, Paddy O'Rourke, PJ Cooney, and Josephine Smith. Blackhall Gales from Monday the 22nd, jackpot at €10,000. Numbers were 8, 14, 22, and 27. No winner. The €30 winners were Trish Farrell, Kieran Ledwitt, Darren Neville, and Patrick Hughes. The seller's prize went to Aidan Ferris, and the next draw takes place on the 6th of May. It's worth €10,000, and they've already got a reserve built up of 10,000 in the kitty as well. So Blackhall have been going strong for quite a while now, and another reserve of 800 after that. So they've got probably 21,000 of jackpot prizes ready to be dished out, but yet to happen. Longwood, from the 29th of April, the next draw takes place on the 29th of April. The results from the 22nd of April were 4,800 of a jackpot not won. Lucky dip winners were Mandy Grennan, Donna Byrne, and Barry O'Toole. Their numbers were 13, 24, 25, and 27. €4,900 on Monday night. Walterstown from the 21st. Numbers were 4, 15, 16, and 28. No jackpot winner. One match three winner, who was Lisa Reynolds. And next week's jackpot is still worth €10,000. Next on my list, Mickey, comes from Dunamore Ashburn. And their results from last week, they had a €10,000 jackpot. No winner. Match three winners were Mary Troy, Olivia Daly, Colm Umuelo Sr., Owen Caffrey, Aisling McQuaid, Moira O'Shaughnessy, Mary Flanagan, Roisin Williams, Francis Harrington, James Keogh, Becky Deary, and Sheila Ni Govna. Numbers were 2, 3, 11, and 21, meaning next jackpot is tonight. It's worth €10,000 still. And the final one that I have, Mickey, comes from Menalty, and their results from last Sunday night, 21st of April, they had a €4,600 jackpot. Numbers were 17, 20, 21, and 26. No jackpot winner. Four match three winners, each receiving €50, were Adrian Lynch, Aideen Brogan, Olivia Cousin, and Hugh Lynch. The special online prize of €50 went to Emma Carey, and next week's draw takes place tonight, and it's worth €4,800.
Great stuff, Davey. And just before we move on to our Instagram talking points, just again to remind our listeners that we have a whole host of Loyal Royals podcasts going out on Patreon/WeAreMead this week. We'll have the review from the Joe McDonagh Cup, the hurlers getting beaten by Laois. You spoke with Sean Quigley after the game. We'll have a review of the ladies' game against Kildare. Shane McCormack, Monica McGurk, and Kira Smith all stopped to talk with us after that game. And we'll have a review of the under-20 Leinster final that takes place on Monday night between Meath and Louth. That'll be going out later in the week as well. So a whole host of Loyal Royals podcasts coming your way. Time to go on to our Instagram talking points now, Davey.
Yeah, I feel like we should, we're nearly obliged to say it's sponsored by Lucky to be working this week because he's contributed so much to our Instagram interactive this week. So just a bit of a shout out for him. But we'll start it with Jack Walsh. And he said, Rispin's haircut. I don't know, Mickey, do you not like it?
Right. I'm not a big fan of the fades now, to be honest with you. That's a real championship fade as well. It's a little bit early, Davey. Are you getting ahead of yourself?
Yeah, I go with that all year round now, to be fair.
And where did Jack
do something a little bit different?
You had a game on Sunday morning, so you stayed in all weekend. You were extremely quiet and you were hibernating all weekend. So where did you get to see this haircut? Were you posting pictures of your new haircut on Instagram or something?
When he was rushing out of the dressing room from trim on Saturday, heading for a flight for Liverpool, that's when he seen it.
Ah, I get you.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Jack Walsh, Lucky to be working has said Jack Walsh gone to Liverpool. He just said, reckon the Meath hurlers need encouragement.
Well, was he gone over to watch Liverpool playing, or what was on? Because that was a waste of time.
I don't actually know. It looked like he was at an old folks party there. I got a video off him there earlier today. It looked like an over 70s sort of party that he was at. So I'm not quite sure.
So he was at the Liverpool game.
Yeah, potentially. Lucky to be working also said Meath ladies be free against the Kildare Hams, and indeed they were.
Yeah, they were indeed. They'll take that every day of the week, and that flag that flies over there in South Meath over there facing North Kildare is still flying high.
Yeah, Lucky also said that the refs in Meath, seriously, never mind fitness, need to learn the rules. Like, I'm not sure what that's in reference to, but there you go.
Yeah, I would be confident here in saying that maybe Lucky needs to read the rule book.
That's a very good shout. One result that we actually missed when we were going through the club results, because this is about that particular game, was St Pat's against Duleek Bellewstown in a first-team capacity. And Duleek Bellewstown had a great win, a two-point win. I can't remember the exact scoreline, but Dara Toohey just said, Pat's boys back in their box. What a victory that is for Duleek Bellewstown. Could be the kickstart that they need to their season.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. And I'm surprised he didn't say Pat's boys back in the attic. That's all form goes out the window when it comes to a local derby like that, and there'll be no love lost between Duleek Bellewstown and St Pat's, and the bragging rights will be with the Duleek Bellewstown lads for another few weeks anyway.
Yeah, Evan Murray said O'Rourke surely having a look at Jim Murray, the man's a machine.
Well, look, there's no doubt about it that Jim Murray is a machine. He's a fantastic footballer. They're flying high at the minute. They didn't come unstuck on the weekend.
I was going to say, why would he leave Slane to go in with Meath?
In fact, to paraphrase you, Davey, if Slane played Meath at the moment, they'd beat them.
They probably would. They give Dublin a good game. Cormac Brown said Insta story club results are ideal. Yeah, in fairness to a lot of the PROs out there, Mickey, they tag us in their stories when they're putting up their full time from games, and it's a great help for people that get to see the results of the games from around the grounds. Now listen, there's only a select few that probably do it, so it would be great to get more and more. And if you're putting up your result on your Instagram story, just tag We Are Meath and we will share it across to our story as well, and it just gets more eyes on it, basically. So as you can see there, Cormac gets his results.
It gives you a chance to see a load of results by tagging We Are Meath and us reposting it. And there's a whole...
And quickly, you just got to fly through them.
You can fly through them and you can see all the results. So yeah, absolutely. Thanks to any of the PROs who are tagging us and any of the PROs who aren't. Get your act together.
Lucky said Niamh Gallogly, wing back for Meath, cracker of a goal, a serious athlete.
Oh, she was absolutely outstanding, Davey. There was a few really standout performers for the Meath ladies, and I'd have to say that Niamh Gallogly was one of them, yeah.
Look, he also said Kildare Hams beaten by Louth, laughing at Meath there last year. No chance the Hams will win that cup. Of course, Kildare into the Tailteann Cup now.
Yeah, Kildare into the Tailteann Cup, and you know, Louth's. Look, you have to give it to Louth as well. You know, losing Mickey Hart in the manner that they did, and to come back the way they did this year, and they were unlucky in a lot of games. You know, they lost, I think it was three, if not four, games by a point. Armagh, Meath, Cavan. You know, there are three games that stand out for me that they lost by a point. And you know, although last year there would have been games that they probably would have won by a point. You know, they've come storming back into it. They've done really well in Leinster, obviously avoiding Dublin on that side of the group is brilliant. And look, we have to give it to Loud for the moment that they're moving quite well. Let's hope that the Dubs trounce them in Croke Park.
I think, look, his final contribution for the week, he was saying that Davy Rispin's interview, top class, made for TV. Of course, that was the interview for Clubber with a Laois player after them absolutely thumping me, the Mickey. I was very... It was tough going now, to be honest with you, going down to interview a Laois man after something like that. But anyway, part of the job.
Ah, look, it's part of the job, and you did a great job on it. And look... you know, you've definitely got a face for radio.
Yeah, Robert Purfield said, hope the commentary on Clubber is only a loan move, Davey. Yeah, I can confirm I'm still very much tied to We Are Meath, Mickey, and I'm under a long-term contract, so I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's one of the things I did at the start of the year was tie Davey into a 12-year contract. So it was a bit like one of those Chelsea contracts. So it was, you know, maybe not for the same money though.
Unfortunately not. We're very much one club men though, aren't we, Mickey? I know we do other things, but when it boils back to it, we are me till we die.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that can be our new phrase. So can we are me till we die.
Sean Murphy is next in, and he said, get well soon, Charlie Ward from Blackhall Gaels. Yeah, Charlie Ward looked to have sustained a serious looking injury in that game against Kilbride over the weekend, which would be a massive blow. He's done his ACL twice before, and it looks like he may have done it again. He's only 18 and he's a really, really bright prospect. So listen, hopefully, first off, it's not. And secondly, if it is, we wish him the very best in his recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few players around me that are going into recovery at the moment with stuff like that. Sean Ennis, the Meath ladies footballer, All-Ireland winning captain. She's going for surgery next week. We wish her the very best of luck in her recovery because she's been an absolute stalwart for Meath. And I know she's going to come back stronger than she was. And we wish her the best of luck as well as Charlie as well.
Yeah, and that is it, Mickey, for this week's Instagram Interactive.
Excellent. Well, thanks everybody for contributing this week to our Instagram Interactive, and I'm sure next weekend we'll have plenty as well, and hopefully there'll be lots of talk about a Leinster under 20 title in our Instagram talking points next week, and hopefully Loud are in the attic. Well, look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath. Why? It matters more.